All right, so for today, we're going to head in the same direction that you were heading in your morning Bible studies. This is where we'll be this entire week. And dealing with the theme of, what is it? Discernment. Discernment. So right up front, I'm going to tell you, ask you to be patient with me because I think I have a little dyslexia. I want to say discretion. I've been saying it all week, discretion, discretion. And even right now, I'm having a hard time remembering that it's discernment. So if it comes out, just smile and nod your head, and I'll know what's going on, okay? and we'll get through it that way. But you were listening to Jesus teach this morning as it related to discernment and how to treat other people, how to make some good choices. Today we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 5. So if you've got a Bible, we're going to go there. You can go there also. If you don't have a Bible, the text is printed in your bulletin, and it's also on the wall today. You can follow along that way. As we get to that point, okay? So we'll be there in just a few minutes. But first, I want to talk to you about discernment. I want to start by asking you a question. When you look on the wall, do you see the title of the message? Okay, can you see it clearly? No. All right? So it says, I can see now. I can see now. It's missing a word. And I'm sure you could probably guess what the word is. But when we throw up the next slide, can you see it now? All right, what's the word? Clearly. Okay? So there was a point there where, now how many of you were thinking clearly? I can see clearly. Yeah, some of you I told yesterday, right? So you're like, yeah, I know. I'm sure you figured that out anyway. But the idea here today is just that point right there. There's a time probably in all of our lives where we couldn't see very clearly. And then looking back, it's like everything became clear. Oh, that makes sense now, and we understand better. And so today I'm going to deal with this title or this topic saying, I can see clearly now. So have you ever had that moment in your life where your eyes maybe physically were blurry and you couldn't see anything? Ever been there? What about, I was talking with some of our church family this week. They were remembering stories of driving in the snow, and it was snowing so bad they had to roll down the window and stick their head out because they couldn't see the road. Have you ever had that moment? Or it's raining so hard or it's so foggy that you just can't see? Then when you get on the other side of the fog or you get through the storm and everything becomes clear, it reminds you of how necessary clarity is, right? So I think a lot of times I understand that I need to see clearly when I find my eyes are pretty blurry. I remember when our oldest daughter, Lily, got her first pair of glasses and she came home and she just stood in the kitchen. And she's just looking at the floor and thinking, man, what's going on here? We've messed up her eyes. She can't find her way around the house. And she walks in and said, what is it, Lil? And she says, there's lines on the floor. And she had never seen the lines on our linoleum kitchen floor before. It's just like, things are coming alive. Things that I never knew existed have been right here in front of me this whole time. It's been right there waiting for me to see. And that is so true today as it relates to being able to see spiritually. And that's kind of the direction we want to head today, all right? It's just like the song says, you know what? I can see clearly now. Why? The rain is gone, but now what do I see? I can see all the obstacles in my way. And then it says, gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. What's it going to be? Oh, man, I was hoping somebody would sing it. When you walk out of here, it is a bright, that's beautiful, thank you. It's a bright, sunshiny day outside, okay? So that song is true. I mean, it's not necessarily pulled out of Psalms somewhere, but it's true. Man, when the clouds go away, I can see clearly. It doesn't make everything perfect. There's still obstacles there. But now I can see the way things are supposed to be. So today, you know, we're not going to be putting on glasses and trying to fix our maybe problems with our eyesight. When we're talking about this thing of spiritual eyesight, that's the reality of discernment. Seeing things the way that God does. All right? Having this God vision towards every situation that I'm in, every relationship, every choice that I make. It's seeing things the way that God desires for me to see them. And so we're going to look at this in Hebrews chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and get there. We're going to be at the end of this chapter. And what we find here is the writer, he's writing these Hebrews to encourage these people. They must have been struggling through something very severe. And so the theme of Hebrews is perseverance. You're believers, and though your faith is new, press on. Right? And you have Jesus Christ, and he is the new, and the old has gone, and he's this high priest, and he's eternal. Just like they said a long time ago he was going to be. The problem was, we find the people not being able to understand this to be true. And so there's a little bit of a, listen, I need to talk to you for a minute. You know how those conversations go? Hey, how are you doing? Step into my office for a minute. Let's talk. Right? You're usually not all excited about that. And so that's what's going on here. He's saying, listen, we need to talk about where you are. Spiritual eyesight is going to be key for you going forward. And here's how you go about getting it. Okay? And it's just as important for you and I today. So Hebrews chapter 5, and let's go. We're going to read 12, 13, and 14. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. So he's trying to give them some depth, some insight. He's trying to further them. This is part of their growing process, should be. And yet when he finds them, they have regressed. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so it is today. I want to look into how I can see, how you can see clearly. And I pray when we walk out of here, we can all say together that we can see clearly now. All right, that things have been cleared up if there's any blurry vision there. And so three things this morning we'll note about spiritual clarity. And the first thing is this, spiritual clarity comes to us through God's Spirit. Okay? And all these, it's a process. You know me well. One builds on, or two builds on one, three builds on two and one. So we got to start where it all begins. Spiritual clarity comes to us through God's Spirit. So let's pause here for a moment. I think it's important to outline and try to understand what it means to have spiritual clarity or to discern. At the heart of this are words like this, to investigate, to examine, to analyze, to scrutinize, to judge rightly. Okay, so we see the depth of this. It's really searching and looking into it. There's a group of people in the book of Acts. What were the name of these people? Do you remember? They'd come through teaching about Jesus, and they would always go back to the Word to check if what they were hearing was correct. These people are the Bereans, right? You remember these people, and they always went back and checked the Word with what they were being taught. And so that's what we're dealing with here. It's the idea of not just taking it because somebody said so, and it was in a church building or it was on a church website, so it has to be true. But searching the Scriptures for yourself, judging rightly everything that you may hear. There's another definition that says it this way. It's a power to see what is not evident to the average mind. So there is an ability to see something that the average mind just cannot catch. Okay? That's entirely true as we think about how we get spiritual clarity. And there's also one other truth as it relates to discernment. And it's the idea of accuracy. It's an exact word, which means you have the ability to see what is true and what is false. Okay? So it's not, hey, I hope this works out for you. Discernment means there is great accuracy, the ability to discern between what is true and what is false. And I hope that we see here initially this is extremely important. It's the reality of being able to distinguish truth from error. It's having those spiritual eyes. Okay? It's having those spiritual ears. Now, why do I need clear eyes? Why do you need clear eyes? Why do we need clear vision? Well, let's go back to verse 14, Hebrews chapter 5. So solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish, or some of your translations may have discern, good from evil. So what are we trying to discern here? What is good and what is evil, okay? And so we have this responsibility to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. Romans 12, verse 9 says this, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Okay, so we've got this same progression going on here. I need to hold dear the things that matter to God. I need to love them and I need to hate those things that God hates. See, I've been created to live for God's glory. And the way that happens is when I am able to discern between what is correct and incorrect. And if I do not have God's Spirit, friend, I have no ability to do so. I simply cannot do it on my own. And here's the truth of the matter. Just look around the world and you get a great picture of what it looks like to try to discern on your own. Right? Look at our country and some of the things that we're weighing right now in different courts around our country. Look at some of the laws that are trying to be written. And what we've got is this mindset of me trying to figure out what's right and me trying to figure out what's wrong. And we're totally violating the heart of God. Right? So what are we lacking? What is it that we're missing? We're missing discernment. We do not have the ability to see things the way that God does. See, sometimes we think we have the right or the authority or the ability to determine or to define things on our own terms. And what we need is God's Spirit, living Spirit, active within us. Has there ever been a moment in your life where you knew God's Spirit was at work in you? And that living Spirit was just convicting you, or that living Spirit was just teaching you, or that living Spirit was just opening an opportunity to you. That living Spirit was answering a prayer. And you're like, man, this is awesome. That's what we need. Right? That's what we need as individuals. That's what we need as a church family. People who are intimately connected to God and His Spirit is active and living within us. Paul makes this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, the person, or a person without the Spirit, doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but they consider them foolishness. Okay? So somebody who walks in today and who listens to us talk here this morning would walk out of here saying, that is ridiculous. Did you hear what they said? That just doesn't make sense. How can people in this time period still hold to that kind of view? Right? It's foolishness to those who do not have the Spirit within them. And they cannot understand, that verse goes on, they cannot understand these things because they are discerned only through what? Through the Spirit. So where there is no Spirit of God in the heart of a person, they have no ability to discern. All I've got is, hey, what I think. And hey, what do you think? And I guess there's enough of us who think the same thing, so let's go make it a law, or let's go spread this word. And ultimately, that's how we've come to where we are today. We find David in Psalm 119, this guy desperately praying for God to put within him this heart of discernment. He says, give me discernment so that I may understand your statutes. If you go all the way back even into Genesis, you'll find this same Spirit at work. You remember the guy named Joseph? Right? We remember Joseph, and he had a coat, right, children? His coat was multicolored, right? Many colors. And Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers that they were going to serve him one day. He was going to rule them. And did they like that? No. So what do they do to old Joe? Joe's got to go, right? So they put him in a pit for a while, and they were going to kill him. And some people are traveling by, and they said, let's just sell him. And so they sell Joe. And Joe goes through this process of trying to honor God, and yet he's in these situations that keep trying to rob him of his purity or of his integrity. And so he keeps getting himself in trouble. Well, Joe has the ability to interpret dreams. Pharaoh has a dream, and all his guys can't figure it out, right? And so one of the members of Pharaoh's household remembers that Joseph has the ability. He says, call Joe up here. I want to tell him my dream because I want to know what it's about. And so Pharaoh tells him the dream, and he says, I heard you have the ability. Joseph says, I don't, but God does. And so Joseph begins to explain to Pharaoh's dream. And let's kind of look at what happens following that. Verse 38 of Genesis 41, all these people gathered around who couldn't interpret Pharaoh's dream. He asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is what? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And so even at that point it was going, verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and there is no one as wise as you. And so we're going to put you in command. Really, you're in charge. I'm just the face on the country. We're following whatever it is that your God tells us to do. So initially where this all begins is that I've got to see the world as God does. And the only way I can do so is through His Spirit. Maybe this is a sober thought for you this morning, but you and I are accountable to God to see the world the way that He does. I have a responsibility to see the world the way that He does. And so it will not be tolerable when I stand before him with the excuse, I just don't see it the way that you do. Because I have everything that I need within me if his spirit is living and active. Apart from his spirit, all I have is blurry vision. The only way to discern what is true and right, and I mean the only way, is through the Spirit of God. So I'm not talking about, hey, Lucky Charms or Fruity Pebbles. You know, I'm not talking about walking this neighborhood or that neighborhood, going to this park or that park, riding my motorcycle, going fishing. I'm not talking about those types of things. Where life consists and truly matters, we need to know what's right and we need to know what's wrong. I'm accountable to God to know these things. So how does this all happen? It happens at the point of belief. When somebody becomes a Christian, when they see clearly, just as your little papers describe there, Thomas. Thomas saw clearly. And Thomas went on living for the Lord and died for the Lord, right? Because he saw what was right and he saw what was wrong and he was willing to give his life for the things that matter. It all starts with people seeing that Jesus is really the one that we need and then trusting in him, receiving him as our Savior. The Bible teaches us at the point of belief, the Holy Spirit begins to dwell, begins to work, begins to bring about this clear vision. All right, so it starts with, comes to us through God's Spirit. All right, let's progress secondly here today. If we're dealing with spiritual clarity, and we are, it comes through His Spirit, but it also comes to us as we continually pursue His Word. So we're going to say through continuous insights from God's Word. So this is equally important today, okay? So apart from God's Spirit, can I discern what's right and wrong? No, not in things that desperately matter. And so it's important today that we see I need the Spirit, but it's also important to see that I have a role to play. So in simple terms, I'm to be growing. I'm to be changing. I'm to be transforming. Or the word that the author of Hebrews uses is I need to be maturing. So in real simple terms, and maybe some of you children can help me out, how is it that you keep growing and getting older and older? We say that all the time in our house. You got to stay young. You're just getting old way too fast. You're growing up way too fast. How does it happen that they keep growing? Anybody know? That's right, because we feed them. And they sit down 3, 5, 9 times a day and they eat, all right, whatever it is in your house, however it works, okay? It's very similar to you and I today, spiritually speaking. We mature as we take in this nourishment of God's Word. And so as I continue to go to His Word, He continues to nourish my spirit so that I'm growing in spiritual discernment. It's not, hey, Jesus, I believe in you, save me, and all of a sudden I see everything clearly. There's this process of growth, and I have a role to play in it. Again, this just points back, connect, grow, serve, of our responsibility to be people who hunger for the Word of God. Not just so we can raise our hand and say, yeah, I read this week, but because we have a real desire to know God. So as I go to the Word, I find more and more insight. And as I get more and more insight, I have greater ability to discern what is correct and what isn't. But here's a problem. And maybe you find yourself here, maybe not. But the people that the author is writing to were people who became dull of hearing. So anybody dull of hearing today? If I'm snoring and my eyes are closed and I'm having to be nudged, am I dull of hearing? All right? I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm just saying that happens from time to time. I teach students, high school students, about 30 of them or so, Monday through Thursday. And sometimes they sit in class like this, just like I did in Mr. Forline's systematic theology class. And I think, you know what? That's just me. You know, because sometimes I can look at that and go, come on, man, don't you hunger for the Word? And I'm just looking at myself going, come on, man, don't you hunger for the Word? And sometimes it's just become something I've heard over and over again. I just get dull of hearing. These people here had become dull of hearing. And so let's go back and read that. Verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews 5 says, we have much to say about this, about Jesus Christ being the high priest coming in the order of Melchizedek, but you're not prepared to understand the depth of that truth. You should be. You should be ready to receive this, but you've regressed. So we have much to say about all these things, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, by this time you ought to be teachers, But now you need somebody to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. And so this writer right here once again says to them, you should have been pursuing God to understand how to see the world correctly. You should have been pursuing God to get clarity. And as a matter of fact, you should be at a point where you're teaching other people. But we've taken some steps back. In a sense, we've become spiritual babies. See, here's what happened. They stopped valuing God's word and started valuing their own feelings, their own traditions. So these are newly converted Jews. So they started valuing what they came out of, Judaism, more than they did Christ and Christianity. And they were going backwards. And the writer's saying, no, no, no. And you've got to let some of those things go so that you can grow up, so that you can receive what it is that what is new. I mean, they'd simply become bored with God. So, family member to family member, friend to friend, have you ever become bored with God? Have your ears ever become dull of hearing? You sit in church service year after year and say, I know the stories, I hear the same message, whatever, and it's just kind of like, there's no penetration, there's no conviction, there's no joy, there's no growth. But I love Jesus. And I just have to suffer through these church services, I guess, till I get to heaven. No. I need that revival of heart. I need that warming, that awakening, that stirring. I need that to take place. Maybe you find yourself there this morning. The reality is we're in a country that feels that way. True? Right? I mean, that's why we have difficulty defining murder, what murder is and what murder isn't. So I'm pretty confident if you take my life today, you get in trouble for that. True? I hope so. That would be justice. That's right. But to take life that is just as real within a woman, we say is just, it's your prerogative. I mean, the Bible makes it clear that is what? It's murder. It's murder. Now, anytime we talk about abortion, I just want to talk about grace. Because there is forgiveness if you found yourself in that situation or you know a family member or a friend who's been there. God's not casting you out, but you've got to understand that is sin. But just as we read in Scripture about today, Jesus, grace has come. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let your grace be that fetter that binds my wandering heart to thee. There is grace, but it is sin. It is murder. And when you think about it, God says, I knit you together. I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. Who do you know that doesn't exist? Anybody? Maybe you've got that, you know, that special friend you had when you were a child. You always had to keep an extra seat at the table for that invisible. There's my mess up for today. If you're keeping track, I'm sure there's plenty. But that little invisible guy, my brother Tyler had an invisible guy. I always ate with this. His name was John Acave. And I don't know where he got it from, but he always went on vacation with us. And he swam in the pool and he had his own fishing pole and he had his plate and... Weird kid, I'm telling you, weird kid. You can be sure and tell him that, okay, next time you see him. But sometimes we just don't understand things because we cannot see them rightly. God says, I knew you, and our culture says, you can't be known. That's just tissue. That's just mass. I mean, that's like removing a cancerous tumor. Really, that's all we're doing to you. It's not active, it's not living, it's not real. And there are some in this room who know very well right now it is real. There is this growing life within me, and God knows that life. And so when that life is taken, God says, what I knew is now gone. And yet we applaud it, and we put it on bumper stickers and T-shirts, and people scream to the top of their lungs that it's somebody's choice. Listen, there is a point where you get angry, but there's also a point where it just breaks your heart. And you just get sad because what I've learned to expect from sinful people is sin. Right? Why would I expect somebody who doesn't believe in God, who doesn't have the ability to discern, to do things God's way? And so rather than just getting upset and angry, I say, God, we need an awakening. We need people to see you for who you are. We need lives to be changed, eyes to be opened. That song, Amazing Grace, first line says, how sweet the sound, it saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And that's what we need. And the problem we struggle with is trying to legislate hearts, minds, and you just can't do it. That's why it goes back to where we started today. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And apart from that, we get goofy laws which say, you can't take my life, but we can kill millions and millions of unborn children. I just don't understand. It's no different when you think about some of the other laws that we're dealing with right now. We're having a hard time trying to figure out what marriage is. Why are we having a hard time trying to figure out what marriage is? Because we don't have spiritual eyes. We cannot discern past our feelings and what we think to what God says is right and wrong. Okay? Now, I understand. Listen, you know, we used to say that day is coming, things are getting bad. That day is here, and it's been here. And we need to wake up and realize that we're living in a very stressed, very lost, very dark place. And we need spiritual eyes. And that's the problem. When Jesus said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cling to who? Whom? Cling to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. Okay? Mother or husband, wife. I know he's talking about divorce, but he's still outlining the participants. And all he's doing is talking about the Old Testament. Paul goes on to teach similar things. What we need are spiritual eyes. Does that mean that we hate people that don't believe these truths? No. They would like to make us out that way. You won't accept my opinion and the way that I want to live, and so you hate me. I love you too much to allow you to wander in this darkness. You can love somebody here for 80 years and stand before God and him condemn you to hell because of your choices. And you want me to be okay with that when I know differently? Just don't see it, that there is great love there. And sometimes maybe it's just because it's not expressed. But it's not love. It's not hatred. It's deep love that causes us to see things, to understand things the way that God has created them to be. See, when I go to my Bible, it doesn't say things like this. My feelings will be a lamp for my feet. And your thoughts will be a light for my path. Does your translation say that? If it does, we have a good trash can here. We'll be glad to dispose of that for you, which is what that needs. When we go to Psalm 119, verse 105, God says, his word, your word, David says, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. So how can I discern what is right and what's wrong? And not just in murder or in marriage, but in all things. How can I discern? I need spiritual eyes, but I also need this word to be living and active within me. And for that to happen, I have to be active within it. Therefore, I've got to go to his word and go to the word and go to the word. Otherwise, it's going to be you and I sitting around my dinner table going, what do you think's right? It's going to be you and I sitting around planning board meetings. Yeah, this is the culture we live in. You know, what do you think we ought to do? How should we deal with these issues? I'll tell you how we'll deal with these issues. We'll deal with it the way God says we'll deal with it. And we'll take what comes as a result of that. We won't wallow it or water it down. We simply cannot. God's word is the lamp for my feet. So spiritual clarity comes through his spirit, and it comes, and that word continuous means I'm going back to it. Every day I'm getting new insight. Every day I'm being taught something, or I'm being reminded of something. And so I keep going back to his word, which brings me to this third and last point here today. Spiritual clarity ultimately matures us as we practice what we learn. It ultimately matures us as we practice what we learn. So here's what I want to say. When we go to the Bible, it's not just to memorize it, although that's fantastic. It's not just to be able to share with somebody, hey, this is a fact that's in the Bible. When I go to the Bible, it's to resource myself through God's Spirit, equipping me so that I'm able to honor my God. See, knowledge without application is useless. Some people have said it's kind of like a screen door on a submarine. You think that's a good investment of funds? I think there's a better way to spend that money. Okay? It's the same way with knowledge. If all I have is knowledge and there's no application of that knowledge, it's just as useless to me because it's not affecting anything. It's not at work. It's not transforming. It simply serves no purpose. But with application comes clarity. So let's go back to Hebrews 5, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use, there it is, that idea of practicing, the constant use, they've trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. They've trained themselves to discern what is right and what is wrong. So it's not just go to the Word and yeah, that's what it says. It's that I live it. And the more I live it, the more it becomes a part of me. And as I mature in these things, I see more and more clearly. But when I don't practice them, friend, I've got blurry vision. I can quote Scripture all day, but if it's not changing me and I'm not living it out, then I'm still just as blurry on any of these issues as I ever was, probably more so. So spiritual clarity, ultimately, it matures us as we practice what we learn. And so I beg myself and you today, not just to know the Word of God, but to know the God of the Word. To get into it, to let it saturate your heart, and then to practice what it is that you're pulling. What it is you find there, live it out. And if it's difficult, pray and ask God, transform me, change me. This is hard. I can't do this on my own. And He's going, yes, 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 and yes, and I'll help you. Spiritual clarity is desperately what we need today. I think about that even in my own family. A world that my daughters will grow up in and their children will grow up in seems to have very different view of this world than I do. And they're going to face it in ways that I probably never will. So I need to be able to prepare them. Uncle Ron and I were talking this morning. You know that song, Come Thou Fount, and says, here I raise my Ebenezer. What's the Ebenezer? Remember, it's a rock. It's a stone. And every time they would walk back by that stone, don't you know they would stop? Why is that big rock there? I'll tell you why it's there. There was a time where we were about to be destroyed, and we prayed to God, and God brought amazing, miraculous deliverance. And we marked it, knowing that every time we pass this, a curious kid is going to say, why is that there? And we'd say, well, let me tell you why it's there. See, we need to raise some Ebenezers in our homes. These stone places where God has marked us, where God has met us. We talked about earlier where the Holy Spirit has been active in us. We need those moments so we can impress it on the hearts of our children. This is what God has done for us. This is what God has said is right and wrong. This is why we believe that God's Word is His Word and not just some man's. We need to equip them so that they can deal with the world that they're going to deal with. Maturity comes not only as I read, but as I practice what it is that I find there. Discerning between good and evil. Ultimately, that's about as simple as it gets. Did you live in ways that honored me? Yes. How so? Because your Spirit gave me the ability to discern this is right and this is wrong. And that's as simple as it gets. So as we close here today, I want to share with you an illustration I shared several years ago. And maybe you'll remember it, maybe not. It's irrelevant. But I believe this ties this all together today. So there are people, and you probably know this, but there are people who are employed at banks right now whose sole purpose is to recognize counterfeit money. Do you know that? Maybe not at every bank. I'm sure it all goes through certain hubs somewhere. But there are people who have the job title. They are to find counterfeit money and deal with it accordingly. So how do they do it? It says there are hundreds, literally hundreds of counterfeit bills created in this country every year. So do you think they go and study all the fakes? No, because there's bound to be fakes out there that they don't know anything about. You know what they study? You know what they scrutinize over? You know what they judge rightly? You know what they analyze? The real stuff. That way, when something fake comes across, they nail it. They recognize it. Not because they're out kind of experimenting in all these false things. They look at what's real and something comes across. No, I'm not going to accept that. That's fake. That's phony. Knowing what is true gives them the ability to identify what is false. And that's the great truth of spiritual discernment. Knowing what is right, knowing what is true, gives me clarity, the ability to make a right choice between what is right and what is wrong. Very simply, I need to know the authentic, who is Jesus, so well that when some other teaching comes across, I go, that's not right. What do you mean you get to heaven because you're doing good? Or because you married the right person and now you get into heaven? Doesn't work that way, all right? So I can look at these things and go, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. Not because I'm anybody, but because His Spirit is within me, giving me the ability to discern what is right and wrong. What a great hope, what a great privilege, what also a great responsibility. Distinguishing between the voice of the world and the voice of God is what spiritual discernment is all about. And thankfully today, God has given us every resource we need to make that happen. So we need to see clearly. So what I want to ask you as we close is this: do you have those clear eyes? Do you have clear vision? Or when you look at issues, when you hear people talk, do you kind of get persuaded by their eloquence, by their compassion, by their passion for what they believe, even though what they're saying is false? Or when you hear something that's not true, can you call it out? Can you identify it? Can you say, that's not correct? Spiritual discernment has the ability to do so. Again, it's a growing process, but I must be just very active in doing my part. So it all begins with God's Spirit in you. And I said earlier, God's Spirit takes root, takes place within us when we first trust in Jesus Christ. So that's where we have to start. Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, all you've got is your own rationale and maybe the forming of your parents or grandparents or neighbor, your friends, and that's kind of what's creating your belief system. That's what's determining, well, I think it's okay, even though God says, no, it's not. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Maybe you'd like to do so today if you haven't. And maybe you have already. What I wonder is, in your life, in my life, what word rules my house? Is it my word or is it thy word? It's always one or the other. It's either the scriptures say this or this is what I feel and what I think. Always one or the other. When you look at your own life, how do you determine what's right and wrong? Is it by your feelings, by what you think, or is it by God's word? I just wonder, do you see clearly today? Can you discern what's right for you, what's right for your home, what's right for our church, what's right for our country, what's right for every person? Do we have spiritual eyes?